This evening I've chosen a passage of scripture from James, the third chapter, and I'd like to read verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So this clearly indicates here who is a wise man. And that is he that would have knowledge and would, through his conversation and his words, actually show this meekness and this wisdom. And I want to build somewhat upon the thing of wisdom as well as righteousness and other related things tonight. And I would like to turn to Proverbs, the third chapter, before completing this particular reading and branch off a bit upon the thing called wisdom and the importance of it in the individual lives of the children of men. And we find this writer of old here indicating this, and he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. This shows that along with this wisdom comes a thing called happiness. And it's important that you and I seek after such as this. And the man that gets understanding, and this is spiritual understanding, I think more specifically, because we don't have to exercise much effort to get people to learn other ways or other things in this life, whatever they may be. In fact, a good part of man's life is taken up in learning various occupations or schooling or things of this nature. But the important thing that I want to stress tonight is the spiritual welfare of the souls of man. And so those that find this heavenly wisdom and those that seek this understanding of the Lord, it says that there will be happiness. And it says the merchandise of this is better than the merchandise of silver, or the gain thereof than of fine gold. And so when we think of this, as we've heard others preach here, and myself as well, on this particular passage of Scripture, but I thought tonight it would be well to again use this and to think upon it. Because we find here that man, in a little side thought, is forever seeking after the things of silver and gold and the things they purchase. And yet here it tells us that this wisdom from God, and this wisdom that can be a part of our life, is far more important than all these things that man constantly seeks after. And also, using wisdom, it says she here is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So all the things that man might desire in this life cannot be compared unto wisdom. And so really maybe it's a bit more important than many people think it is. If actually people had sufficient wisdom, a lot of the heartache that has happened in this world would be left undone. And all too often man is inclined to say things that can hurt others. And this all too often is a lack of wisdom. And so if we think upon it, we can see that wisdom is important. But the things we pursue in this life, how we utilize our time, is another thing of wisdom. It also goes along with one of the spiritual fruit of the Spirit, and that is temperance as well. It kind of ties in with that. And so really, whatever we might desire in this world, and there's many things that man desires after constantly. And I think maybe all of us has had certain fantasies in our life, if we want to use that term. There's things that we would really like to have. And yet all the things that we might like to have, all the pleasures we might like to pursue, even good whole earthly clean pleasures. None of these things are to be compared to this thing called wisdom. So it is important. And the understanding of the Lord goes hand in hand with this wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. That even indicates here that there are certain promises that can be ours, certain benefits by having sought after wisdom and applied it to our life, as well as the understanding of the Lord. One thing is a promise of length of days. Another thing, in the next verse, it says, our ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And so how different that is from the busy world of which we are a part. How different it really is. Because all too often, man is not a pleasant creature. In fact, he's all too often more unpleasant than many of the lower forms of animal life. Because even them, many times, have more love than man has for his fellow being. And yet, as you've heard me say before, this thing called pleasantness, all it takes is a little of our time, and even just very little of our effort. And so it really is a thing we can all work at. We can have a happy attitude. We can have a nice smile as we meet people. We can help even lift people that appear downtrodden or unhappy. And we do live in a world that there is many unhappy things constantly taking place. And it seems like really today we never know what's going to be the next thing that will take place to try man. And part of this does call unhappiness in his life all too often. But yet in all this, if we work at the thing called pleasantness, it will help our stay here be more enjoyable. And it says, all the ways of wisdom are peace. And we know there is much in the scriptures that indicates the importance of peace in our individual lives. We are to be a peaceable people. And really, if we're walking as we should, others will know the type of creature we are by our peaceable walk before our fellow beings. That's one of the identifying marks, really, of a true believer in Jesus Christ. She, further indicating wisdom here, it says, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now this tree of life, again, is something that is desirable to be a partaker of. And it seems like it's hard to mention the tree of life without remembering the remarkable vision of Lehi and Nephi and their experience with it, and more specifically, Lehi's experience as he looked and saw this tree. And he found out that it was a tree whose fruit was desirable to partake of. It was a tree that if you partook of the fruit of it, that it would be a joyous experience. And by partaking of this, it was able to make those that partook of it happy. And we all are full well aware that this tree, the tree of life, is a representation of the love of God. And so we see here, it says, she is a tree of life. This wisdom even ties with the love of God. And everyone that retains this tree of life, which has to be none other than the love of God, it says, happy are those that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded this earth. And when we just analyze it carefully, we can see of the marvelous wisdom in everything that exists. And really, I'm caused to marvel at the greatness of creation, that which we constantly walk among, and that which we probably take for granted, the beauties of nature, and even the little things of life. All too often, we have become a part of a busy world, and we really seem like we don't have time to appreciate the little things of life. Many years ago, I had cause to say this, and I really forgot his name now. He was a great golf player. And he says, we're here for such a little while, so take time to smell the flowers. And that's just a little thing. But each one has their own identifying odor. And so God caused it to be that way. It would even be kind of an odd world if everything smelled as a rose, even as much as we like the rose. We like to smell lilacs along with it and the various other things that we have. We learn to know various things that bloom by their odor. And as I walked out into the orchard the other day and smelled the apple blossoms, I could remember this nice, pleasing smell of the apple blossom. So we see really God has done a lot for us. And so by his wisdom, all this earth and everything that is upon it, including you and I, this was founded. And of course we know specifically these things were made by his son Jesus Christ. And then we go on and find the last part of this. And by his understanding hath he established the heavens. And so even greater, almost, if we want to word it that way, than this earth that we live upon is the vastness of the heavens about us. And I know that all of us has had cause to go out and just look into the great beyond and to be inspired by the vastness of it. And the order that everything is in. When we really realize what an orderly fashion everything is done, it's almost beyond our comprehension. I even thought today, the thought went through my mind, because of the orderliness of the creation, man, more specifically the astronomers, have been able to tell when a certain eclipse of the sun will be many years ahead. And they've also, by the same token, been able to go back and tell them what already happened. Man has become very learned, but if there hadn't have been an orderly being, he could have never have figured it out, could he? So really, when it's all done, we find there is a greater being than man this day. And that great being is God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that all these things, the vastness of this was established by the wisdom of God, by his knowledge. And notice this, I like this, and I guess that I'll never tire of it, and I hope you don't either. By the knowledge of God, the depths are broken up, like the oceans. Do you know without the oceans, we couldn't even have the moisture we have? But by the knowledge of God and by his wisdom, these vast oceans are caused to pick up certain amounts of moisture. And the winds blow them over the land. And they drop down the rain and the dew and the snow. And so our land is watered. And so in the wisdom of God, the seed grows and is harvested and is milled and gives bread to the eater, as Isaiah of old said, without even turning to us. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, we can read another beautiful story of the orderliness of the great creation of God. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So how important it is that you and I and all others keep this sound wisdom and this discretion. If we'd go back in the first verse, we would find the Father talking to his Son. My Son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And these commandments were the commandments of God, lest we forget. And so, if we have this wisdom and this discretion, we find that they shall be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. So this very thing, I believe, for which we've gathered here tonight, it surely couldn't be because I have a lovely voice, and maybe I don't even have that. See, I hope I don't lull too many to sleep, really. But anyway, I see some kind of getting a little topsy, maybe. But anyway, there must be more than this tonight while we're here. If there wasn't some promise beyond this life, we probably would have all stayed home and maybe even watched a television or read a book or went down to somewhere else and pursued some pleasurable thing that might have been a lot less profitable than being here in church. But there's a reason why we're here. And we find that there is something, and that is because there's a promise of life to your soul. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Then, there is one of the benefits of doing this. And thy foot shall not stumble. And all too often we're a stumbling people. We stub our toes and we stumble because we have failed to utilize this thing called wisdom in our individual lives. We have failed to really walk fully in the footsteps of righteousness. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And really, this is something that is important to your being. Now, it's more important than you think. Again, when we go back and look and analyze some of the learned things of our day, and we find that they have carefully monitored people at night. And when you live by a busy highway and the noise level is above a certain decibel, even though you won't even be aware of what's taking place, the next day you awake irritable. It's all happening while you're asleep and you didn't know it. So we're really geared to a certain level of tolerance of even noise. And when it goes above that, it's interfering with your normal functioning as a human being upon this earth. And really, this is another one of the things that we're going to find shortly becoming one of our medical problems, and already is happening. We find deafness among many young people because they like to turn this music so high that it would almost drive a normal person out of their mind. And yet, I'm not saying they aren't normal. But yet, in all this, because this noise level, and maybe I shouldn't call their music noise, they might not like that, but this here, and I guess maybe it could be sometimes. But anyway, this level is above what our body can safely tolerate, so we're impaired to that strength. It may impair our hearing. We may, as we grow older, be impaired and not have the good hearing that we could have had of old age. Or we might be irritable by what we do. The stress we're placed under today, we know that many of the things that we're apart, and we can't get much away apart from it, even certain places of work, are detrimental to man. And yet in all this way, when everything applied as the Lord wants it, He even says our sleep can be sweet. And He says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And so really, again, tonight, when I think upon this, we indeed are a rich people to have all these promises unfolded before us. And all we've got to do is read these scriptures and apply them to our lives. I'd like to turn back again to James, the third chapter, and really read at this time from 13 through 18. And I wish to reread one verse to kind of pick up what we had to start with. Who is a wise man then, and endued with knowledge among you? And this shows. Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And that's why I wanted to build that other. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So this is a different train of thinking, is it not? This bitter envy that can tear down the lives of the children of men. This thing called strife that destroys mankind. And I've been a witness of it, what it can do. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensually, devilish. And we heard somewhat today about the power of the devil and what he has been doing since the onset of man upon the face of this earth. And as I've said before, we and mankind have really underestimated the devil. He is so clever, so deceitful, and so cunning that we really are unaware of all his devices to deceive. Because really, when we're at odds one against another, who do you think really is behind it? It isn't because maybe I'm all that antagonistic, see. We got to at least put the credit where it's due, and that is the devil. And he's the one that's stirring up the lives of men, one against another. He's the one that causes the hurt and the heartache. He's the one that we can blame, not one another. Well, let's go on a bit further. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, I don't know whether you really fully listen to that or not. Where this thing called envy and strife is, there is confusion. And we must agree. When there's strife and envy in this, it does cause confusion and every evil work. We go back into another scripture, if you want to turn to it. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in the first 3 verses, and I'm not going to go into it. But here was a group of people, and they were spoken to by Paul as being carnal instead of spiritual, because they had among them envy and strife, and another thing we don't have listed here, division. He says, when you have these things, are you not as men? Are you not walk as men? Are you not carnal and walk as men? And so this is the same thing here. All these scriptures tie well together. But listen to this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is pretense. And so really, this kind of wisdom that is from a heavenly source, it's first pure, note that. And then it's peaceable and it's gentle. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her ways are peace. And those who have this are full of mercy and good fruits without partiality toward anyone. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So this fruit of righteousness, and when we think, what really is the fruit of righteousness? And maybe our minds, by this little clue, are directed to Paul speaking to the Galatian people, wherein he mentioned the fruit the Spirit. There is some, I think, of the fruit of righteousness. It really is the fruit of righteousness. By this type of fruit in your life, God knows what you are, and not only that, others know what you are. And those fruit of the Spirit is love, and we would expect it to be first. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance, and faith. And I never put them in the exact order, but I remember them that way, so it works, whatever way it is. But again, these things are important in our individual lives. They should be a part of each one of our lives, that we might be a peaceable people, a people full of love, that we might have happiness in our lives, even though there comes a time in our life that our life is trying. Perhaps with the loss of a loved one. But all is not ended because this has happened. We still got a responsibility to the living. And as I've had cause to say before, just as certain as birth, death is just that certain. There's only been a few that didn't pass through death. And we know the names of at least part of them. But there isn't any. Elijah and a few others, the 3 Nephites and John the Revelator. Well, anyway, and another who, Enoch or some such name, I believe, But anyway, in this we find that there are not many ever left this world this way. But in all of it, we do have a responsibility today. And that is that we try to sow our fruit in such a way that we might be found with God in eternity. I would like to read a little bit along this thing called the fruit of righteousness, even though it don't really use the words, out of 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. And I could have read the same thing out of the book of Matthew. But I chose this one here on 3 Nephi 5, 52 through 56, because we've already touched upon wisdom and meekness. And so the first one says, "And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And this next one says, "And are blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so really, when you think upon this thing called righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit, and those who really thirst, hunger and thirst after this righteousness shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we know the importance of this in our individual lives. There's many scriptures that show us the benefits of having the gift of the Holy Ghost functioning in your life. And in all this, we have to walk in the Spirit as well, because this is one of the important things along with it. "And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And really, one who has mercy in his life is one who forbears from inflicting harm on others. "And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And so really this ties in well with this other. We've showed a bit of the importance of peace in our individual lives. "And the peacemaker shall be called the children of God." And I skipped one here. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so we see these do likewise tie with the others. And I would like to turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And read verses 17 and 18. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." That's the work of righteousness, the prophet Isaiah of old said. "And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." And you know, it would mean a lot that when we did something, if we had the assurance of the Holy Spirit with us. And you notice here, "And the effect of righteousness is this quietness." And that's far different from a boastful, haughty person, isn't it? "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." And really, when you analyze this, again, this world could be much more beautiful than man has allowed it to be. We heard brought out today about a people who lived for a number of years in such a state of happiness that indeed they were a very happy people, and it was because of the love of the Lord God that they dwell in their individual hearts. I would like to turn to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians and read the first five verses at this time. Again, I'm choosing a lot of Paul's teachings. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So when Paul claimed and declared the testimony of God unto the Corinthian people and other people, he came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, of man-made wisdom. "For I determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Christ crucified." Now there is quite a statement, really. To know Jesus Christ. And if we really know Jesus Christ, that means we're willing to do what he said. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we're following up many things. And then also, Christ crucified. And that is, through this crucifixion and this resurrection, man had an atonement brought about in which man was redeemed from the fall. And I was with you in weakness and in fear. Now that's Paul. And he was supposed to be a pretty great man. But he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. No, even though he was a learned man, this man Paul, he had went to school and he knew how to do certain things. Yet, he did not teach and he did not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with enticing words of man's wisdom. But how? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He preached with the power of the Holy Ghost. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So really, if your faith is going to stand today and it's in the wisdom of man, it's not going to go very far. But if it stands in the power of God, if needs be, you can move them out if it ever comes necessary. So really, there's a lot that we could do, is there not? Now I want to turn to the 5th chapter of Romans, in the first 6 verses. Again, Paul teaching the Roman people. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So really, we can have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by the faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So really, when we think upon this, you and I have access to this faith, by faith, into this grace. And this grace is, really, it's by grace man truly is saved, without a question of a doubt. As one of the writers in the Book of Mormon said, after all you've done, you're saved by the grace of God or the grace of Jesus Christ, whichever way it's worded, maybe both. It really don't make any difference because they're one purpose anyway. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. And so some say, well, why should I glory in tribulations? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And God wanted us to be a patient people. So we should glory when trials come our way. It don't mean we have to enjoy wrongdoing or anything like that. But because some things comes to try your life, we needn't be saddened because of it. Because there is much scripture, and even as James says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There is also in that same one that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. And as we brought out earlier, this thing called wisdom and the understanding of the Lord is far more important than silver or gold. And this thing called patience worketh experience, and experience hope. And we do need experience to be able to cope with the problems of life. They're ever about us. There's multitudes of them. And really, this is one of the reasons I think maybe that things aren't always done as well as they should. Because it takes experience in order to be able to cope with a certain thing. And so right here we find that if you have this patience, it works experience and you learn. And experience worketh hope. And we need a hope of something beyond the grave. And hope maketh not ashamed. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because no matter what any man can do to you this night, no matter what would happen to you when you walk from this place of worship, your hope could carry you beyond it. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that we already spoke somewhat about, which is given unto us. So that Holy Ghost is an important functioning entity in our individual lives. And even as Nephi of old said in Nephi 2 Nephi 14, 6, if you will enter in by the gate or the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it, the Holy Ghost, will shew unto you all things what ye should do. And so we really need the direction of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And a lot of the things that has caused this disturbance and heartache is because we haven't fully availed ourselves of this great help. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I'd like to turn to Alma, the 13th chapter, and read verses 44 through 47. And it came to pass that when Aaron saw the king would believe his words, and he was preaching unto a certain king here, he began from the creation of Adam, and this is just a little background to what I really want, reading the scriptures unto the king, how God created man after his own image, and that God gave him commandments, and that because of transgression man had fallen. So he was teaching this king somewhat about man. He taught him from the beginning of the creation, from the beginning of Adam, and how that because of transgression certain things had entered in. And he did expound the scriptures unto him from the foundation of the world. And since man had fallen, he could not merit anything of himself. But the sufferings and death of Christ atoneth for their sins through faith and repentance. So this is the way it was done. And that he breaketh the bands of death. This is what Jesus Christ did. That the grave shall have no victory. And without this, the grave would have had a victory. But Christ broke the bands of death. And I think that's why maybe Paul said somewhat here, he preached about Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. They go hand in hand. And this writer evidently knew that as well. And that the sting of death should be swallowed up in the hopes of glory. And Aaron did expound many things unto the king. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter tells a little bit more about that same thing of the victory in Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. And this is 1 Corinthians 15:55, if you want to reference. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so really today, we could shout our thanksgiving from the housetops, because that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has given us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. And so really our labor is not vain in the Lord, if we will but cling to this rod of iron to the time of the end and follow after Jesus Christ and God. In this same chapter, in verse 19 through 22, we have a little different related reference. And Paul, in speaking to a group of Sadducees who do not believe in a resurrection, said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So really, if tonight there was no hope for a future when we went forth from this place, as Paul said, it would be miserable, even though there can be happiness in this life. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So really, there is something of hope brought out by Paul here tonight. We have a way to obtain the victory outlined. A perfect plan is laid out in these scriptures that we might be victorious in the final end. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. First, I really want to read 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And not only believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but does something about it, but applies the commandments of Jesus Christ to his individual life. And going on down in verse 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So really there again, if we don't have Jesus Christ, we do not have life. And so really it is important. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So what he's really trying to emphasize here, John of old, is the importance of serving Jesus Christ, of believing on the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ, and of serving him. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and read verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So really, man has not really fully understand all that he has prepared for those that love him, that really completely love him. And the more we love him, the greater will be that blessing. Even as one people who loved God so fully that among their midst was all the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and everything in the predominance that it should have been. Their sick was healed, their deaf was healed, and even the dead were raised. But God hath revealed them. Now these things that God has prepared for those that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so it is important that we have this Holy Spirit functioning in our individual lives. And the more fully it functions, the better the comprehension we will have of these deep things of God. And we need them in our individual lives. We know and could turn back and won't do so to the John 14th chapter that tells us about another comforter, abiding comforter, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because they know him not. But he said to his disciples, but ye know him, and he, the Spirit, shall be in you to direct you. That's putting it in my words. But again, it is important to have this in our individual lives. And this Spirit of truth, we really cannot ever underestimate it. And I'd like to turn to page 82 in the Book of Mormon, verses 65 and through 67. For the Spirit, and this is what we've been talking about for a while, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whether we deal with God and Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with knowns, because God and Christ likewise are the same yesterday, today, and forever. What they do is forever. They don't need to make up a new plan every day. For the Spirit and they are the same. And now in verse 66 and 67. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free So here we can get something that don't cost us a thing. The same is the way of this pleasantness, and her ways are ways of peace. It don't cost us a thing to be pleasant one to another. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. So men are instructed this way, sufficiently, that they know good from evil. I have one other verse. It follows, actually, the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. It's Galatians 5:25. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this is important, that you and I live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And I hope maybe that we can apply some of these beautiful truths tonight to our individual lives, that we might more fully benefit.